We continue in our journey of Pentecost through the book of Luke. We open in prayer. Father, help us now as we meditate on your word. Speak to each of us through your Holy Spirit that we might understand, believe, and live in the light of your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Even in healthy families, there are sometimes differences of opinion. Which is more important, cleaning the house or mowing the yard? Is it better to save something that might be used later or save space and be more organized by throwing it away? Is it better to put money in a savings account or spend it on something that the family really needs? Healthy families have learned that conflict itself is not necessarily bad. It's about how you deal with it. The same is true for healthy, growing churches. They experience conflict as well. What is the best way to manage growth? What are the characteristics we're looking for in our next pastor? How can we change what we do and how we do it to better meet the needs of all our members and the people in our neighborhood? Here again, there may be legitimate differences of opinion. These growing pains might be disconcerting, but they are better than the alternative. This does not mean that we should not strive for unity. But show me a family or a church family where there is absolutely no conflict, no difference of opinion, and I'll show you a family or a church family where there is nothing going on. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus brings out a very uncomfortable fact that for many of us is a painful reality. When Jesus came into this world to be our Savior, his coming brought about division and conflict, even in families. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a joyful time when the proclamation of the gospel, sometimes someone then comes through to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That person's life has changed. They are different. They are beginning a walk of transformation that ends in glory. But what happens when the people around him or her do not understand or accept the transformation that is happening? This transformation causes all kinds of grief and sadness. And sometimes things that are even worse. This is something more than simply a difference of opinion, however. It is a serious and potentially eternal separation. Yet, even this painful reality has a positive side. If God were not doing anything in our lives, we would not be so different from the world around us. If God were not transforming us, nobody would notice. We wouldn't stand out. So it begs the question, what makes us different? What makes us different? Well, for sure, we are not perfect. Far from it. We are like everybody else in the world, conceived and born into sin, just as we confess at the beginning of our worship service each Sunday. We are not better than anyone else either. God loves all people and is willing to forgive them for the sake of his Son, Jesus, who died for the sins of the world. He does not desire anyone to die without knowing him. It grieves him bitterly that not everyone will look to him for their life and salvation. And as Christians, we are sometimes characterized as holier than thou by our non-Christian friends and neighbors. Some of you may remember from Saturday Night Live the church lady who delighted in feeling superior to others. And we must be realistic and confess that this reputation in some ways deserved because of our attitudes and actions towards non-Christians. But this is a sad reality in our world today, because this is not what separates us from them. Besides the myth that Christians are perfect, we might include the use of specialized jargon or unfamiliar customs. For example, we call our lobby a narthex. And I'm pretty sure, you don't have to be German or Scandinavian to be a good Lutheran or punctuate every sentence with an amen or praise the Lord. So what makes us different? What's the difference? If it doesn't lie in our language or traditions, you know, that we become very comfortable with. What makes a Christian different is that they know and trust in God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. There are three distinctions I'd like to mention this morning. The first one is faith in the gospel. The church is defined as all and only those who trust in God for forgiveness, life, and salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. By his suffering and death on the cross, Jesus took upon himself all our sin and guilt, and his righteousness is now given to each of us as a gift. Everyone who believes in this is a member of the Christian church. Secondly, the means of grace. The marks of the church are the word, purely and correctly taught in its fullness, and the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper that we will experience in a few moments. When they are rightly administered according to Christ's command and institution. Through these means, God creates in our hearts the faith which trusts in what God creates in our hearts, the faith which trusts in what Christ alone accomplished to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. An old history book, someone wrote, "In case of famine, eat this book. It is full of baloney. In case of flood, stand on this book. It is dry." Unfortunately, the world sees the Bible in much the same way, an outdated and often erroneous history book. But we know better. The Bible is centered on Christ Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. Through its main teachings of law and gospel, the Bible truly can make us wise for salvation. Through faith in Christ Jesus, it is useful for instructing us in every aspect of our Christian life. Scripture tells us, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Or another scripture, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges my thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Or from Romans, "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And the third, what makes us different, the fruit of faith. As believers, we are ready to read, study, and gather to hear God's word. And as we live in our baptism by daily repentance, and as we receive the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, it cannot help but make a difference in the way we think, talk, and act. As we spend time with others who share our faith, we can learn from them and can begin to imitate their behavior. In Hebrews 12, we read, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now, it's very important to remember, though, that all of these things are a work in progress. And the progress is sometimes difficult to see right away. We enjoy fellowship with other Christians. We develop a habit of prayer. We strive to use our gifts for God's glory. We praise God in music and song and with the arts. We love others and do what we can to help those in need. We make spreading the gospel a priority and long for our Savior's return. We really do look at life differently. Keep in mind that none of the fruits of faith are really at the heart of the difference. They are simply results. If we are uniquely different, it is because Jesus was uniquely different. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So what makes Jesus different? Well, Jesus is God. He was God from eternity. All that exists was made through him. He is without beginning and without end. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at once. He is holy. He is so different from us that for him to become our Savior, he had to do something totally unique. Jesus became man. He took upon himself our human flesh and blood. He became like us in every way with one significant difference. He knew no sin. He never had a sinful thought, word, or deed. Not even once. This made him uniquely different, even though he was the same as you and me. And what was the result of that? All of this caused him to win many friends who saw admirable qualities in him. It also caused bitter opposition. Jesus provoked his enemies. One thing you have to admit about Jesus, he did not come to be popular. There were many people who followed him. Some followed him for the wrong reasons, only to become disappointed and turn against him. Some were offended by the harsh things he said. Some were perplexed by his nonconformity to some of their traditions. Some were jealous or afraid of him and opposed him from the very beginning. During all of this, Jesus did not let popularity or the lack of it distract him from his mission. No, Jesus came to be more than just a buddy. He was on a collision course with the forces of evil that were opposed to him, and he was not going to back down. Jesus' enemies would appear to gain the upper hand. He would be captured, tried, sentenced, beaten, mocked, and then crucified. The wonderful and miraculous irony of the whole situation was that because of what took place at the hands of his enemies, God would bring about our very salvation through Jesus' death and resurrection. No, there's no substitute for Jesus. Many people today try to combine Christ with other religions and philosophies. This can never work. It's like oil and water. Scripture is very clear. In Acts 4, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus also said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But is that all we can say about this subject? Is it simply and us and them separated for all eternity? Without a change, which is where things are headed, it may be that way. But it does not necessarily have to be that way. So the question that we ask in the end is, how through Christ can I make a difference? How through Christ can I make a difference? Many people live their Christian lives in the same way, like Nicodemus, who only approached Jesus when no one else could see what he was doing. We are all a little guilty of being the heckle and jibe of our Christian faith at one time or another. It's easy to blend in with the rest of the world. We rationalize our behavior and behind such phrases as separation of church and state, or it's no big deal. Why would I want to cause a big stir? One summer, I was working at a high school co-ed camp on Catalina Island, which is off the coast of California. And there were some problems with the facilities. And a young high school girl, who I desperately would have liked to have dated at that point, was getting really upset. And she said something to me, and being Dave, I mumbled something incoherent back. And she asked me, how could you remain so calm? Later that week, I had the opportunity to speak with her several times. I had the opportunity to share my faith. I had the opportunity by the end of that week to have or participate in a baptism where we stood together with the pastor on the bluff overlooking the ocean at sunrise. I finally took the step to share my faith. The reality is, as believers, we rub shoulders with unbelievers, and there is friction, and that can result in sparks. But we can pray that by God's grace, He would use one of those sparks to kindle the flame of faith in someone's heart. As we close this morning, yes, there is a great and terrible divide. On the last day, it will become an eternal divide. But for now, today, this afternoon, we live in the day of God's grace. There is still time, and there is still hope. If you've not put your trust in God for forgiveness, life and salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, maybe today is that day for you. For the rest of us, and as a church, let us fearlessly proclaim the gospel of peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We close in prayer. Lord, I pray that as the Holy Spirit illuminates your word in our hearts, that it may take root. Show us ourselves and show us our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. And that you will make your word alive in each of us, and that we would share that word with all we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have the opportunity.